Today's shiur is Masechta Sanhedrin Daf Chof Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Chof Gimel Amud Beis, the bottom line, Ki Asur Ravin. Our Gemara continues with another approach in helping to try to understand Rameyah's opinion in our Mishnah. Well, we had Rameyah's opinion that if there's a din Torah between two litigants, according to the opinion of Rameyah, one side could immediately disqualify the other side just by saying, I'm not willing to accept that other party's dayan, his judge, or his edim, which at first glance is a very difficult opinion to understand. Without any reason, how could I disqualify the other person's dayan or aid? So says the Gemara, Kiyasa Ravin Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Reisha. The Reisha, the Mishnah, refers to a situation, Be'edim Psulim V'dayonim K'sherim, that one side was able to definitively disqualify the other side, Edom, and since he's able to definitively disqualify the other side's Edom, therefore, even though the Dayonim are Ksherim, are perhaps not definitively disqualified, he then has a right to say, I refuse to appear before those Dayonim. Why? Because Migad Pasli Edom, Pasli Naami Dayonim. Since he could disqualify the Edom, which he does have proof, therefore he could also disqualify the Dayanim. Sefer, and the Sefer is referring to a situation where the Dayanim Psulim, he has definitive proof that these Dayanim are disqualified, and the Edim are Ksherim. And therefore the halacha is, the Migui, according to Ramei, the Pasli Dayanim, since he had the ability to definitively disqualify the Dayanim, therefore Pasli Nami Edim, he also has the ability to disqualify the Edim. And there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand this concept. The Yad Ramah brings two opinions. One opinion, he states, is that since he could claim that we see that this person brought posla edim and he brought posla dayonim, it's a clear indication that this person, that this this opponent is using people who aren't qualified to be Dayanim or Edim in this case. Another pshat that he suggests is as follows. If one side was able to properly disqualify the other side's Dayan or his aid, the din Torah is effectively over. This din Torah is over. By me being able to disqualify your dayan or aid, the din Torah is over. And once the din Torah is over, so therefore everything is over, the dayanim are out, the aidim are out, and therefore there's nothing to go further with. Asked the Gemara, Masklav Rava, asked Rava, Bishlama, in the case where we discussed that according to Rameyah, Mig the Pasli Edim, Pasli Dayari, that if he disqualifies the Edim, he could also disqualify the Dayanim. We could understand such a situation. Because Ikka Beidin Achrita, Beidin Achrina, there's always another Bezdin that could be approached. But since there's always another Bezdin that could be approached, so if he effectively disqualified the Edim, we also allow him to disqualify the Dayanim. And if he'll find the other Edim, and there will be a new din Torah, it won't be a problem to find a place to conduct that din Torah. Elo asked the Gemara, Mig the Pasli Dayanim, Pasli Nami Edim, in the case where we're saying that if he was able to effectively disqualify the Dayanim, he could also disqualify the Edim. How could it be so easy and quick for him to disqualify the Edim? The Edim Suleka. You can't just fabricate Edim. You can't just find another Edim. And once you disqualify these Edim, it's unlikely, or very unlikely, or very, or highly unlikely, that he's going to find other Edim. If it's highly unlikely that he's going to find other Edim, why should we just allow him to so quickly and summarily disqualify the Edim? Answers the Gemara, Latzricha, it's referring to situation, Dikakat Acheres, that there is another pair of Edim. So even if he's disqualifying these Edim, the other opponent is not completely lost because he has other aidim. Says the Gemara, halakha katacheres. According to this explanation, if the other side would not have another pair of aidim to rely on, what would be the halacha? Now we're saying Ramey would agree that then he has no ability to disqualify those Edom. Ask the Gemara if that's the explanation of this Mishnah, as we explained at the end of the previous year. Rav Dimi, and this is the way the Taras Chaim explains the Gemara very beautifully. Rav Dimi explained that the Mishnah was referring to a situation where one side said that they have two pairs of Edom. And Ramey's opinion was that if you say you have two pairs of Edom, you have to bring both pairs of Edom to say testimony on your behalf. And since you have to bring both pairs of Edom to say testimony on your behalf, when one side comes to disqualify the first pair of Edom, he's not an Ogei of Edus because the other side is going to have to bring the other aid anyway. Why was Ravin not satisfied with that explanation, ostensibly? Because to explain that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where there are two Edom, two pairs of Edom, was something the Gemara is assuming Ravin couldn't accept. It was hard for Ravin to accept that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where there are two pairs of Edom. But now ask the Gemara, what has Ravin accomplished? Ravin also now we're explaining is saying that our Mishnah speaks about a case where there are two pairs of Edom. So what is Ravin accomplishing over Rav Dimi? Answers the Gemara, Ikabinai Migui. Says the Gemara, our understanding of what Ravin was trying to accomplish is wrong. Ravin wasn't trying to accomplish saying that he can't accept that the Mishnah is referring to a case where there are two Edom. Two pairs of Edom. He's fine with that. The machlokes between Ravin and Rav Dimi is strictly over, do we say a concept of migui? Where Ravin is introducing that we say a concept of migui, Masover, Ravin says we say migui, and that's why Ramey says, if you were successfully able to disqualify the Edom, you will also be able to disqualify the Dayanim, and vice versa. Omar Sover, on the other hand, Rav Dimi doesn't subscribe to that concept of Migui. That is the extent of their machlokes. But they both agree to the concept that our Mishnah has to be speaking about that the party that I'm going to disqualify his Edom has two Edom. So ask the Chasam Sofer, a Gevaldige Kasha. The way we're learning now is that it's strictly Rameyer's opinion, according to the explanation of Ravin, that our Mishnah is teaching us that Rameyer subscribes to the concept of Migui, which is a very hard thing to understand, because we who are Baruch Hashem learned a lot of different Dafim and Shas. We've learned the concept of Migui many, many times. So to say that the concept of Migui is strictly a concept that Rameyer follows and not the Chachamim, only according to the explanation of Ravin, and now say Migui throughout Shas, is very hard to understand. So says Rav the Chasam Sofer, he quotes a Sefer Binyan Shloima. The Sefer Binyan Shloima, says the Chasam Sofer, explains that this Migui is not the standard Migui. The standard migui, as we have said, is a concept that is mentioned many times throughout Shas. This, however, is a situation of a migui, of a very unique migui, which is a migui that's only mentioned in this sense. And this is the migui that only Rameyer follows and not anyone else. But the regular concept of migui, for example, the most classical example of migui we always say is Pesha Asa, Pesha Hitter. Certainly, that migui is not limited to Rameyer. That's a well-accepted concept throughout Shas. In our previous year, we learned that Rish Lakish was speaking to Rameyer. And Rish Lakish said to Remeya that he had difficulty accepting Remeya saying that if one side brought two Edim, that the other opponent could just go and disqualify those two Edim. And because of that, Rish Lakish commented to Remeya, Gufa, Om Rish Lakish, Pekadosh, Yoyim Adav Zeh, you, Remeya, such a holy person, should use such words that he has the ability to passel, to disqualify two Edim. And because of that, Rish Lakish said we should change the wording of the Mishnah to Ni Edoy. We should not use the word Edov, rather Edoy. Ask the Gemara, Eini, is this typical for the way Rish Lakish spoke to Remeya? Vam Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish taught us, Vam Ula taught us, Haroya, Rish Lakish, Rebeis Medrash. If somebody sees Rish Lakish in the Beis HaMedrash, Ki Lo'oika Har V'Tachim Zebezeh, Rish Lakish was a tremendous Talmud Chacham and a very strong Talmud Chacham. I saw a beautiful pshat. What does the Gemara mean that he was Kilo Oika Harim for Teichnon Zebezeh? The Farshim explained that we know that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah on Har Sinai, all of the nations of the world came and said that they want to, all the mountains said that the Torah should be given on them. They were considered Oikar Harim. All the mountains of the world moved towards Har Sinai because they felt that they were greater. And Rabbi Shlokish also had in himself, so to speak, this concept that he was such a great Talmud Chacham. So now, how do we understand that Rabbi Shlokish is the one that speaks to Remeya that way? Says the Gemara, Amar Ravina, V'leikol Roy Remeya beBeis Medrash, whoever sees Remeya in the Beis Medrash, Kilo Hoy Kahar V'Tachna Zebezeh. He was talking to Remeya, who was also certainly a great Talmud Chacham. So, why do we have a problem? Why do we have a problem having Rish Lakish speak to Remeya that way? And as the Pnei Maven explains the Gemara and the Havamina assumed that even though Rish Lakish was an Amira and Remeya was a Tana, still, given the fact that Rish Lakish had this personality, that he was an Oika Harim, it's difficult for the Gemara to accept that Rish Lakish should speak this way to Remeya. And the Gemara, about Remeya, and the Gemara says no, that Remeya was also a great person, and therefore, Hachikama, Bar A, Kama Mechavim Zezeh, how much respect they showed each other. And the Kiha, says the Gemara, Kiha, the Yosef Revi Kama Oslatm Satsana, we find a similar situation. Revi was sitting in Beis Medrash, and Revi was saying that it's Osir to make Hatmana to insulate cold food on Shabbos. Machloikus Rishonim, what is the reason for this? What is the situation? Some explain it's referring to a situation that somebody has cold food that he wants to keep cold. And Rebbe is paskening that one cannot insulate such food because we're concerned that if he's going to insulate this food that way, he may come to insulate hot food. Or some Rishonim explain it's referring to a situation where he has cold food, but he doesn't want it to get any colder, and that's why he insulates it. And again, the reason why Rebbe said it's also because he may come to do hatman on hot food, which is also to do on Shabbos. How do Yosef Rebbe come also to hatman satzayin? One is not allowed to do hatman on cold food. Amal Fana Rav Shmuel Rav Yosef. Rav Shmuel Rav Yosef said to him, Aber hitel et hatman satzayin. My father Rav Yosef allowed one to be matman satzayin. Amal Ahem, as soon as Rebbe heard this, he said, Kfar hoi rezakin. Amra Papa, so says Rav Papa, Bar e kam mechavim zezeh. Let's see how much these Talmidei Chachamim showed love to each other. Deal Rav Yosef Kayim. If Rav Yosef was still alive, how you kafuf v'yosh lufnei Rebbe, he would sit as a subordinate in front of Rebbe. What's the proof that that is what he would do? The whole Rav Shmuel Rav Yosef b'mal makom avos of Hava. Rav Shmuel, his son, was his successor, and we see that he was v'how you kafuf v'yosh lufnei Rebbe, that he was subordinate to Rebbe. And yet, as much as Rav Yosef was subordinate to Rebbe, when Rebbe heard Rav Yosef's psak, he said, I will follow Rabbi Yossi's psak. So Rashi explains in Masechta Shabbos the reason Rabbi Yossi were subordinate to Rebbe was because Rebbe was the Nasi. However, Tosfos finds that pshat difficult, because Tosfos says if that was the reason Rebbe Yossi was subordinate to Rebbe only because Rebbe was the Nasi, so what does that have to do? Who's the bigger or smaller Talmud Chacham? And therefore, Tosfos Masechet Nida has a different pshat. He says, indeed, at the beginning, Rebbe Yossi was considered a greater Talmud Chacham than Rebbe. But afterwards, Rebbe continued to grow until he became a greater Talmud Chacham than Rebbe Yossi. And yet, the Gemara is teaching us that Rebbe, who was a greater Talmud Chacham than Rebbe Yossi, accepted the Pesach of Rebbe Yossi. Rebbe Yishia. So says Rebbe Yishia, he quotes a Pasuk in Zechariah that speaks about what the Golus will look like. The Pasuk says, Ve'ekach li shnei maklos. I took two sticks. Lechet karosi noyam. One stick I called noyam, which is easy, gracious. Lechet kar chavolim, which is like an assaulter. Says the Gemara, Noyam ele tamid chacham shebet Yisrael. This refers to tamid chacham in Yisrael. Shemanimim lezel zeh bahalocha. That are graces towards each other when they learn together. Chavolim, ele tamid chacham shebebovol, shemechablim zel zeh bahalocha. That they're tough one towards the other when they learn. And the Gemara and the Rishonim explain that the tamid chacham in Yisrael who are nicer to each other in halocha is of course the proper way how Talmid Chachamim should act towards each other. So ask the Rambam, if that's the proper way how Talmid Chachamim should act towards each other, why do we find that we always follow the opinion of the Bavli, not of the Yerushalmi? So he says that this behavior, that they were, so to speak, a little tough towards each other, was only in the early years of Bavel, when they lived under terrible decrees and terrible tzaras. But as things in Bavel got better, they also acted towards each other in such a way, and that is why we follow the psak of the Bavli. Furthermore, says the Ben Yoyada, a beautiful pshat in the Gemara. Here the Gemara compares Talmid Chacham to sticks. He says, you know, a stick can be used for one of two purposes. It can be used for support. Somebody who's walking needs a cane to walk. And it can also be used to hit somebody else. Says the Ben Yoyada, these are the two qualities of Talmid Chachamim. They could be our support. They could support us. But if necessary, they also have to be tough with Klal Yisrael, and they have to take that a tough approach. Continues the Gemara. V'yama ele shnei b'nei yetzer ha'oimdim. He said there are two children of oil, Shnei Zeis Malah, Yitzar, Amar Yitzchak, El Tamid Chacham Shabbat Yisrael. The Yitzar, the olive oil, refers to Tamid Chacham at Yisrael, Shenoichem Zel Zeh Ba'alocha Kishem Zayis, that are gracious to each other, like oil is sweet, like olive oil is sweet, V'Shnei Zeis Malah, El Tamid Chacham Shabbat Bovel, Shemrun Zel Zeh Ba'alocha Kizayis, they're bitter like an olive. Like the Mashal explains, Ben Yoyada says the same, an olive, when it's still an olive, is bitter, but then when the oil is squeezed out, when the olive oil is squeezed out, it's sweet. Continues the pasuk. Ve'isa einai ve'erev v'hine shtei noshim. Yoytus, two women going out of ruba kafeim. Lehem kenafayim kekafei chsida. Ve'tisnos ha'efa b'ena oretz u'b'ena ha'shamayim. Vo'im al malach ha'dovibi. Ona heima malichas ha'efa. Vo'im alai livnus le'bayis b'eret shinner. Omer Rav Yochanan Shemirim Shemin Yechoy. Ze'chanufa v'gasas ha'ruach. These two midas that are being referred to, Achanufa and Gassas Aruach, Shiyodul Bavel, they both came to Bavel. So Mefarshim explained, Ben Yoyada explains why these two bad midas compared to women. So he says a very interesting pshat. He says women are the ones that have children. They have consequences continuing coming from them. So he says the same thing here. Bad midas. If somebody, Rechman Tzlan, has bad midah of chanufa, or somebody has the bad midah of gasas haruach, those bad midahs cause other bad midahs to come. They give birth to other bad midahs. The pasuk says they were b'na shemayim or b'na oretz. Why were they between shemayim v'oretz? because both Chanufa and Gassus HaRuach really don't have a place in this world. Because although people like Chanufa, in Shemayim, Chanufa is all based on lies. We're going to speak about Chanufa more in a second. But Chanufa is all based on lies. And in the Olam HaEmes, Doiv Shkorim, Lo Yikon L'Neged Einai, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot accept Chanufa. Gaiva is even worse, because Gaiva is not accepted, not in this world, nor in the Olam HaEmes. And that's why they had a stand Bein HaShemayim or Bein HaAretz. What is Chanufa? So I saw that the Meremei Sada says there are two types of Chanufa, and that the Gemara is referring to both. One is, Chanufa refers to people who are fake. They seem to show a face as if they're great people, but really, there's nothing there. Another Pshat of Chanufa, which is the more common Pshat of Chanufa, Chanufa means flattery. That to flatter somebody about attributes that they don't really have. And the Rishonim point out that the Isser Chanifa is an Isser Daraisa, because the Pasuk says, V'loy Sachnifu es Ha'oretz. And therefore, Chanifa is an Isser Daraisa. Toisvis, Mesech the Soita, says that even if somebody's scared of someone else, and because he's scared of that individual, he flatters him, it's still usur. In fact, only is in a situation, according to Tosfos and many Rishonim, of sakonis nefoshes, may there be a heter for chanufa. Under any other circumstances, the Rishonim, Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yonah say that chanufa is usur. However, there are other Rishonim that say that if the reason to flatter someone else is to create Dark Shalom, peace will be engendered, people will be able to get along better, perhaps under those circumstances, Chanufa is mutter. Ask the Gemara. Here the Pasuk seems to say that Gassus HaRuach came to Bavel. Ask the Gemara, Gassus HaRuach leBavel Nachas, did Gassus HaRuach come to Bavel? Ask the Gemara of Amamar, Asor Kabin, Gassus Yardal Oilam, 10 measures of Gassus of arrogance came to the world, Tisha Nutla Elam, Vachas Kol Oilam Kula. So we see that it wasn't by Bavel, it was by Elam. Answers the Gemara, in La Bavel Nachas, it started in Bavel, Vishtabuve Yishtarvel Elam, and then it moved on to Elam. Dekun, Unami, and the Gemara proves it, the Ksiv, Livnois Labayas, Bereshinah. The Gemara began with Lashon Rabbim, Noshim. The Pasuk began with Lashon Rabbim, but it ended off with Lashon Yochid, Levnos Lo. Shmamino that Chanufa remained in Bavel. However, Gassus went to Elam. Ask the Gemara, Vamamar, similar Gassus Haruach. Where do we see arrogance? Anias Lebavel Nachas and poverty was prevalent in Bavel. Answers the Gemara, when we say that poverty and arrogance travel together, my Aeneas, what type of poverty are we referring to? Aeneas the Torah. People who don't have Torah, that is where we have arrogance. The Ksiv, Achois Lanu Ktana V'shtayim Enlo, Omer of Yochanan, Zu Elam, Shazach Salum of Lazach Salamid. Elam didn't have people who taught Torah, and that's why they had Aeneas the Torah. Why does Aeneas the Torah, why does arrogance travel together? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, somebody who learns knows that he wasn't Mekayim or the Mitzvah Saseh. Someone who learns knows that he unfortunately might have transgressed Mitzvah Loi Saseh. However, if you don't learn, you don't know that you did any Averis. And therefore, Elam, they didn't learn, and you think you're the greatest. And therefore, that's why they said that Elam had Gassus HaRuach, not because they didn't learn, they didn't know that they were doing, that they didn't do mitzvahs or they were doing Averis. Another pshat is that the more one learns, the more he realizes how much he still needs to learn, how much he doesn't know. In fact, the Mefarshim say, what's the best proof? The best proof is Moshe Rabbeinu. that Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that's known to be the Onov Mikol Adam, the greatest, the most humble person ever. Why? Because there was nobody in the world that who knew more about learning than Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew what the Torah represented, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is clearly considered the individual who is the most humble. He was able to be the most humble person, the opposite of arrogance. Here too, the Gemara is pointing out that the main attribute in learning is lilmoid v'lalamid, not just to learn but also to teach. And in fact, I saw a very interesting tshuva from Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein. He discusses a situation where there was a person who passed away, and his children wanted to do something for their father. And the question that was posed was, should the father was a Talmud Chacham, should they print Sfarim from the different manuscripts that he left, or should they buy Sfarim, Gemaras, Chumashim, which would obviously be used more than the Sfarim that they were print from their father who passed away. So he says, based on our Gemara, and he quotes a tshuva from Ramosha, and he quotes a tshuva from Eliyashiv, that both say that here we see how important it is Lilmad or Lamed, and if this person's forum will be able to teach other people Torah, how important that is, and therefore definitely the forum should be printed. He also quotes a very interesting Rav Shlomo Kluger, where Shlomo Kluger says that before, in order for Mashiach to come, all Sfarim that need to be printed, all Torah that has to be disseminated, will have to be disseminated in order for Mashiach to come. So maybe this person's Sfarim are needed to be printed in order to help us bring Mashiach. My Bavel, ask the Gemara what's Bavel. And then Mefarshim have a number of Pshatim in understanding this Gemara's question. Some explain that the Gemara's question is, why is Bavel called Bavel, not Balal? Another pshat that they ask, that they explain, is that we know that one area in Bavel was the languages were mixed up. So that place should be called Bavel. But why is the rest of Bavel called Bavel? Another pshat is, why is Talmud Bavli called Bavel? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, because it's Belula, B'mikra, Belula, B'mishta, Belula, B'talmud. It has in it Chumash, Mishnayis, and Shas. So I saw a number of pshatim in this. One pshat is, it has all of these things, the Rishonim say, but they're sort of disorganized. And because they're disorganized, that's why it's called Bavel. Taisus, however, says another pshat. It says, we know that the Gemara says, La'oila, a Gemara Masechta Avodah Zarah, La'oilam Yashlam Adam Shnoisav, a person should divide his days in three, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Talmud, Shlish B'Mishnayis. However, if somebody learns Talmud Bavli, he fulfills that Gemara. That's why it's called Bavel. However, I saw from the Kaf HaChaim, that's only if somebody learns up a decent amount of Gemara every day. So then, in a typical block of Gemara, you're going to have Chumash, you're going to have Tanakh, and you're going to have Mishnayis and Shas. But however, he points out that let's say you only learn a line of two Gemara a day. In a line of two Gemara, you don't necessarily have Chumash, Mishnayis, and Gemara, and therefore you're not Mekayim what Tosfos says. Furthermore, the Drisha says that even though Tosfos says that by learning Talmud Bavli, we have Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, we still have an obligation to learn every day Halacha, to know what a Jew is supposed to do. Continues the Gemara, the Pasuk says, "B'mechashakim hashivani kim say elam." Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah says Talmud Shabavel. That the Pasuk here refers to Talmud Bavel, which of course this is a very difficult Gemara to understand. The Gemara calling Talmud Bavli mechashakim. So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is as follows: we know that originally Torah Shabbat was not allowed to be written. Only Rebbe, when he saw the terrible tzoris that Klal Yisrael was suffering, he said, "Eis lasus laHashem haferu Torah secha," and therefore, because of that, he said, "We have to record Talmud Bavli." But mechashakim, because we had the tzoris, because we had the terrible decrees of Yavin, chashivani b'msei olam, that was the reason that Talmud Bavli was ultimately written. Another pshat that I saw b'mechashachim is that a person, every person, most people have different issues in their lives. They have chashakim. They have times, they have different things that are bothering them. When a person sits down to the Gemara, all of these issues disappear. Why? Because the way the Gemara was written, it was written in a way that it requires concentration. It was written in a way that one has to pay a lot of attention to what he's learning in order to possibly understand what he's learning. And therefore, b'mechashakim ha-shivani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Torah in such a way. Ramei Menachem Zemba said, in the time of World War II, as he was in the Warsaw Ghetto, b'mechashakim ha-shivani, even in the deepest trouble, a Jew has the Torah. And the Kotzker would say, b'mechashakim, if somebody spends time learning the chamashakim, toiling and trying to understand difficult Gemaras, he is zoicha, and we should all be zoicha, we who learn the Gemara, Hashivani, to have yishuv hadas and menuchas hanefesh. Says the Mishnah, Amaloi, if one party said to the other party, Nemanalai Abba, my father could act as a judge. Nemanalai Avicha, your father could act as a judge. Nemanalai Shloisha Roy Bakar, or these three herdsmen could act as dayanim. Ramei Aimer, Ramei says, Yochalach Sabai, he could retract. He can no longer retract. Similarly, if one litigant was obligated to swear to the other party, and then the other party said to him, I will not make you make a shvur deraisa, which a shvur deraisa, we know the halach is that the person making the shvur has to hold the Sefer Torah and has to use a name of Hashem. It'll be adequate if all you do in stating your shvur is dali b'chai roishcha, swear by your life, and then he wants to reverse this leniency. He can reverse himself, and he cannot retract. Our Mishnah, the Rishonim point out, is clearly referring to the situation of dayonim. And the Mishnah is teaching us that even though there are individuals who are not kosher dayonim, if one accepts upon, if the parties agree to accept upon themselves that party, that in those types of individuals as a dayan, they have every right to do so. However, there are other rishonim that say that our mission is not limited to speaking about accepting upon oneself someone to be a judge who's not a kosher dayan. Our mission is also referring to edim, that one can accept upon himself that another party to take Edom who are not kosher Edom, but were willing to accept them as Edom. Interesting number of shilas that come up about people who accept Dayonim, can they, what is the halacha? The Rashba says that even though we know, as we discussed, certain din Torahs aren't allowed to take place at night, if both parties agreed that the din Torah could take place at night, the halacha is that such a din Torah could take place at night. Interesting machloikis between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. If one accepted upon himself a dayan, not only who's disqualified, but he's an akum, he's a goy. The shail is such an acceptance considered valid or not? The Shulchan Aruch says that it isn't. The Ramah says, but the Evid, if somebody accepted upon himself such a dayan, he's allowed to. Rabbi Chanan says that this halacha, that we could accept upon ourselves a dayan or a aid who's not qualified, is only regarding dinei mamnas. But regarding other cases, we cannot make somebody who's not a kosher individual, just by my acceptance, making him into a kosher aid or dayan. The other Rishonim that disagree. Another interesting question is, we know that the halacha is that an aid, a witness, is called to say testimony im loy yagid v'nosa avoyna. If he doesn't say testimony, he has an avera. What would be the halacha if one of the litigants in a din Torah said that I'm willing to accept a person who is not really supposed to be an aide as an aide. He's not a kosher aide. And now that aide refuses to say aidus. What's the halacha? Will such a person be considered a that he was over the lav of lo yagiv nasa avoyner? Or since he himself is apostle aid, even though I was willing to accept him, that can't make him into a kosher, that can't make him be over the lav of lo yagiv nasa avoyner. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Dimi bereid Rav Nachman bereid Rav Yosef. The case is going to Kabbalah Bechad. The father accepted upon himself, the person accepted his father should act as one of the three dayanim. So there's a machlokes rishonim how to understand the Gemara. He didn't waive the requirement according to Rashi that there be three dayanim. He only waived that the three dayanim have to be people who aren't related, and he said to that the father could be one of the dayanim. In such a case, the Rameyah says he could back out. The Rabbanan, however, say that since the father is only going to be one of the three dayanim, the halacha is that he can't reverse himself. But according to this explanation, what would be the halacha if, besides accepting his father as a dayan, he also said that the father should be a dayan by himself? According to this explanation, even the Chachamim would allow him to reverse himself. Tosfos learns just the opposite. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Mishmuel, Machloikis, the Machloikis between Ramei and Rabbonin, where he could back off, is only in a situation of machaloch, where it's a situation where I claim that you owe me money, and I say that if the court decides in your favor, even though the court is comprised of people who really shouldn't be dayanim, I will forgive my obligation. Aval be'etenloch, if what will be required here is that if I lose, I'm going to have to take money out of my pocket to pay for you. Why is there a nafkamina between machaloch and etenloch? So I saw two pshatim. One pshat is, by machaloch, he already has his money. So he's in a much stronger position. I always consider it similar to the concept of hamotzi mechaveroi olav haraya. Whereas etenloch, he's not holding on to the money, so he's in a weaker position. Another pshat is, the Chazon Ish explains, that by machaloch, there's more of a gemiras das. It's more of a situation where it shows that I'm serious about this forgiveness. Etenloch doesn't represent such a serious gemiras das. Rabbi Yochanan says, the machlokes is be'etenloch. We have the machlokes from Meir Rabbonin, if he could reverse himself. So now ask the Gemara, how do we understand Rabbi Yochanan's statement? Ibarlu. Do we understand Rabbi Yochanan to say betenloch machloikis? Does machloikis by etenloch ava mocheloch devrahakel eni yochla sabay? There, everybody will agree that you can't retract. Oidilma, does Rabbi Yochanan mean to say bein bezu machloikis? The machloikis is in both situations. Toshma, dama rova machloikis betenloch. The machloikis is strictly in a situation of etenloch ava mocheloch devrahakel eni yochla sabay. He can't retract. So the Gemara explains itself. If we'll say that the machlokes is strictly in the case of etenloch, ab machloch, if I said machloch, everybody will agree the reakel and yoch lachsabot. So then Rav's opinion will be similar to Rabbi Yochanan. Eli Amrit, if we're going to say that Rabbi Yochanan means to say the bein bezu machlokes is machlokes both by etenloch and machloch, so the question is, Rav Dama Kaman. Rav's opinion is not neither like Shmuel nor like Rabbi Yochanan. So that doesn't bother us. Because Rav Tam de Nafshe Kamar. Rav said his own explanation. Eser Rav Abba Tachlifa L'Rav. It said at the end of the Mishnah, Ha Yechayv L'Chaveir Shvua if one party was obligated to make a shvuah to the other party, and the party that was supposed to get the shvuah said, instead of making a shvuah deraisa, he said, "Duli b'chayi roishchach," and you won't have to make a shvuah deraisa. Ramei amar yochlachzboi, he could reverse himself. V'chamayrim en yochlachzboi, he may not reverse himself. Now, we know there are two types of shvuahs. There's a shvuah, a situation where you swear, and once you swear, you won't have to pay. That's the typical shvuah of the Raisa, of a Moed of a Mixis, that if I admitted I owe you $100, I make a shvuah, and I don't have to pay. It's a situation of Nishbon V'loy Mishamim, which is a situation of Machaloch, that I'm saying, you don't have to make such a serious shvuah, you just have to make a less serious shvuah, and I'll be Moichel you your obligation. So we see that the Machloikis applies even in a case of Machaloch. Says the Gemara Loi. Amos is referring to a case of Nishbon V'Noitlam. Sometimes Rabbonin mandate that somebody should make a shvuah and get and collect payment, so which is similar to a case of etenlach. Ask the Gemara if we're going to explain. Fine, that the case of shvuah is etenlach, and the Reisha is also referring to etenlach. So if so, then because it's referring to situation of even of etenlach, so why vatanalei reisha? So why do we have to have the same case twice? That speaking about a case of etenlach, answers the Gemara. The reason the Mishnah teaches us the same case twice, because Tana Tarla B'das Acherim, the Tana wanted to teach us a case where he makes the decision dependent on others, on the father. Vatana B'das Atzmai B'tzricha. We have had both cases. The Tana B'das Acherim, in the case where he accepted his father or someone else's or the other party's father as a dayan, that's where I would think because he never really meant to give away the money in that situation. Who says that my opponent will win? In this case where he's not depending on the decision of someone else, he's depending on his own decision. Maybe he agrees to Rabbanan that once you make a deal, you can't go back. And if we only had the case in the Sefer, I would say perhaps only in the Sefer come Rabbanan that we're sure what you said you meant, and therefore you can't reverse yourself. But he in the Reisha, that you can retract. That's why the Mishnah mentioned the same case twice. Omar, Rish Lakish, furthermore says Rish Lakish, Machlaikis Lifnei Gmadin. The Machlaikis between Rameya and Rabbanan is only before we had the Gmardin. Aval Ach Gmardin, once the Gmardin has been handed down, Tibet Hakal and Yachid Lachsabai. Rabbi Yachramar, Lachidin Machlaikis, the Machlaikis is even Lacher Gmardin. Ask the Gemara, again in trying to understand Rabbi Yachran's opinion. Ibailu, what is Rabbi Yochanan mean? Lach gmadin machloikis. Av lifnei gmadin. Everybody will agree. Yochel lach saboy. Oy dilma. Bein mezu machloikis. Rabbi Yochanan means to say there's machloikis in both cases. Toshma. Dama rova. Kibel of karv apostle. If somebody accepted upon himself a dayan who's a karv apostle. Lifnei gmadin. Yochel lach saboy. Before a decision has been rendered, he could be chayzer. Lach gmadin. Afterwards, and yochel lach saboy, he cannot reverse himself. If we're going to say the machloikis is strictly lach gmadin, before the decision has been reached, everybody's agree you can reverse. Rava kam, Rabbi Yochanan v'aliva the rabbanon. Ella, iamrit, bein bezu machloikis. We can say that Rabbi Yochanan says the machloikis in both cases. Rava, who said that the machloikis is strictly, since both Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan agree that the Rabbanan say that he can't reverse his mind after the final decision, how could Rava say that he can? Alav Shmamina. From here we see Lach Gmadin Machloikis, that the Machloikis Rabbi Yochanan meant to say is only after the Gmadin, but before Gmadin, according to Rabbi Yochanan, everybody holds you to reverse yourself. Ask Taisus and Rashi, then why don't we say that Rava is saying his own opinion? So Taisus said, because if Rava would be saying his own opinion, he would be passing like Rameya. And it's difficult to say that Rava passes like Rameya, not like the Rabbanan. Another Teretz is, in the previous Gemara, Rava was speaking to explaining the Mishnah. So Rav is entitled to his own opinion and how he understands the Mishnah. But here Rav is speaking in the halacha, it's hard to say that Rav would be coming up with his own opinion. Shalach Rav Nachman, Rav Chizkel, Rav Nachman ben Yaakov. Lamdeinu Rabbeinu. Lifnei gemad demachlekus, l'ach gemad demachlekus. V'aloch kedivri mei. Shalach lei. So he said, l'ach gemad demachlekus. The machlekus is strict l'ach gemadin. V'aloch kedivri chachamim. So the Farshim asks, why do we have to say that the halacha is like the chachamim? Of course, don't we have a halacha of yochid v'rabim, halacha t'rabim? So Farshim say, it could be it's a situation that remained the chachamim never discussed this question together with each other. And where do we say yochid rabim, halacha t'rabim? Only when the two sides discuss the question together. Furthermore, some Rishonim want to suggest that Rameyah's opinion is a very sensible opinion, and therefore perhaps the halacha should follow the opinion of Rav Meir. That's what the Gemara has to teach us, that no, the halacha follows the opinion of the Chacham. Rav Ashi Yomah, Hacha Shalach Lei, Betin Lach Machlaikis, or Bacha Lach Machlaikis. V'alach Kedavar Mi, Shalach Lei Be'etin Lach Machlaikis, the Machlaikis is in the case of Etin Lach, V'alach Kedavar Chacham. B'sur Mas Nahachi, this is the way they had this version of this discussion in Surah. But B'dos Mach Nahachi, Amlei Rechanir Bashami, Shalach Lei Be'bei Rav L'Shmuel, L'amdein Rabbeinu, L'fnei Gemar Din, if retracts before Gemar Din, V'konu Miyodai, but there was a Kenyan, Mai, could he still retract or not? Shalach Lei, and responded, Ein Lach Kenyan Klum, if there was a Kenyan, then he cannot retract. Continues the Mishnah. Ve'ele psulim, the following individuals are disqualified from being judges or witnesses. Hamasach v'kuvya, somebody who gambles, plays with dice. V'malva b'rivis, one who lends on interest. Mechlekes rishonim, is it only when he collected money or if he initiated such a loan? Mefrichi yoina, are pigeon flyers. The Gemara will discuss this tomorrow. V'soich v'shvias, people who do business with shvias merchandise. Rambam has a very interesting pshat. The Rambam's shot of Soichre Shvius is people who all the years don't do business with produce. And all of a sudden during the Shemitah year, they do business with produce. We have every reason to be concerned that these are individuals who are doing business with Shemitah produce. Amram Shimon, B'tchila Yukayin Ois V'Shvius, originally were called Ois V'Shvius, however, Meshurabu HaNosim, Chazrut Kreisam Soichre Shvius. And the Gemara will explain what happened. Amar Yehuda, Emesai, when are gamblers disqualified from being Dayonim or Edim? Bizman she'en lam emnus elahu. When they have no other trade, this is all they do. Avo yesh lam emnus lahu. If they have other means of earning a living, then the halacha is ksherim, then they are kosher Dayonim or Edim.